Good morning. It's time for the Ship Report, the show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. It is Tuesday, December 4th, 2018. We have 19 vessels on today's Columbia River ship schedule. And our marine weather forecast, ooh boy, it's cold out there. 38 degrees on the Telecom House porch in Astoria. We've got east winds 15 to 20 knots, gusting to as high as 30 knots today. That, with the air temperature, is going to put the wind chill factor down at about 15 degrees out there. So the strongest winds will be near coastal gaps, wind waves from the east 4 feet high at 6 seconds apart, and southwest swells 4 feet at 12 seconds apart. Overall, on the Columbia River bar at the mouth of the river, we have general seas to about 5 feet today. Ebb currents, max ebb current periods happening at 3 p.m., 3 a.m., and 3 p.m., starting with this afternoon, and seas will reach about 8 feet during those times. And today we're going to hear an excerpt from my interview with Kent Williams. He is the executive director of the Fort Vancouver Seafarers Center at the Port of Vancouver in Washington. I went there on Sunday and gave a talk about the Ship Report and also interviewed Kent about that wonderful organization that provides services to seafarers who come into the Port of Vancouver. It's really quite extraordinary. So we're going to hear a clip from that interview in just a few minutes. But first, let's take a look at our Columbia River ship schedule for the day. We have one inbounder so far, the Nandu Arrow. She's a bulk carrier arriving from China, headed for the Vancouver anchorage. She will pass Astoria about 9:30 a.m. You might see her in Vancouver at about 3:30 p.m. In the Astoria anchorage and the Rice Island anchorage, well, we have in the Astoria anchorage, we have the Vigorous. She is headed for Kalama to pick up wheat, leaving at about 8 o'clock. The Belmar is leaving the Astoria anchorage, headed for Vancouver to pick up wheat at about 1 p.m. The Ionic Clios is leaving for Kalama at about 1:30 p.m. to pick up corn, soy, or wheat, possibly a combination thereof. It takes about 5 hours to get to Kalama from here. So, you know, 5 hours after they depart, so maybe early afternoon, you'll see the first ship there, and later on in the day. It takes about 6 hours to get to Vancouver from the Astoria anchorage. The Amstel Tiger is awaiting orders in the Astoria anchorage, as is the New Everest, the Boracay Island, the Dream Star, and the Seabiscuit. Those are all bulk carriers. The Pinnacle Bliss is up by the Rice Island anchorage opposite Tongue Point, awaiting orders as well on this chilly morning. In our outbounders, Leon Etker is slated to leave Portland with soda ash on board at about 5 p.m. Let's see. That would put her past Astoria outbound around 11 p.m. The Ken Shin is scheduled to leave Kalama with wheat on board at about 12:30 p.m. That would put her past Astoria outbound at about maybe 5:30 p.m. here. The Arietta is leaving Portland. She's a bulk carrier. I think she could have brought in some kind of agricultural, like urea. That could be her cargo, something that is part of making fertilizer. The Kyra Pangea is leaving Vancouver at about 5 p.m. outbound. The Columbia Highway is leaving the Port of Portland. She came in with Hondas on board, but she may be leaving with at least some Ford cars on board headed for Asia. Indiana Highway is leaving the Port of Portland with Toyotas on board, leaving at about 5 p.m., so about 11 p.m. You'll see those two ships passing Astoria. They'll probably be a couple of miles apart for safety purposes, but they'll pass generally around the same time. The Bonita is leaving Kalama with wheat on board at about 6:30 p.m. She'll pass Astoria outbound then about 12:30. The articulated tug and barge, the Vision, is leaving Portland. Refined petroleum is her cargo there. And the Linus P is a tanker that is at the port of Port Westward in Klatskanai. Ethanol is her cargo there. Well, let's talk about the Seafarers Center in Vancouver. I got to go there on Sunday. I told you a little bit yesterday about it. It's a really pleasant-looking, almost like a house there in the middle of a big industrial area. And it is a place where mariners can go to just take a break when they get off a ship when they get here. And it's pretty restrictive for mariners these days to get off ships. And so being able to go to a homey place, get off a noisy ship that's constantly in motion and get on land can be a real treat. Here is Kent Williams. He is the executive director of the Fort Vancouver Seafarers Center at the Port of Vancouver, Washington.
Well, it was founded 53 years ago by local community members, so we're truly a grassroots organization. Every year, at least 3,000 merchant mariners, known as the seafarers, come into the Port of Vancouver. But because of Homeland Security considerations, they cannot get off the ships. But if they have a shore pass and a visa, our vans and our certified drivers can pick them up at the ship, get them out of the port, because we're in a security area, and take them to shop at Jensen Beach or East Vancouver or up in Hazeldell where they have big box stores. So with a little bit of time they have between shifts, they can get just a few little personal snacks to take them through the next 6 weeks of being on the water, which is very, very typical. A lot of people ask what a seafarer is, and a seafarer is a merchant mariner. Here on the West Coast, most of them come from the Philippines. 60% of our mariners are in the Philippines. They love to come here, and they have fun at our center. We have a 5,000 square foot center. We have musical instruments. We have foosball, pool, ping pong, and a lot of amenities in exchange where we can give them free new clothing that we get from donors who are logo wear makers. But one of the most important things is to get them out of the port, because theoretically, if we don't transport them, then they're subject to actually to arrest if they walk down the gangplank and step into the security area. So we go up and down the seawall every morning in our van, and we take appointments, and also many are repeat ships, and they will call us and make an appointment. And we will take them in the community, or if they come to the center, sometimes they just want to sit and be quiet. Because on a ship, which is not an ergonomic thing, we're not talking about a wonderful cruise ship or even some of the giant container ships, which are very well appointed. They're seaworthy, but they're freighters. And some of these ships only last about 8 years before they're broken and put out of service. They're not ergonomic. They're subject to weather. Sometimes there are groups that don't necessarily get along together too well, but they're mariners, and they buckle down. They don't make a lot of money, and yet 90% of everything that we touch at one point or another has been on the oceans of the world.
And that was Kent Williams. He is the executive director of the Fort Vancouver Seafarer Center, which is on the grounds of the Port of Vancouver. It's a big industrial area. Ships come there every day. This is a place where mariners can go. When he mentioned them needing to getting off the ship, they do need to have a visa and a shore pass. And if they haven't had a visa arranged in advance when they get on the ship, and some mariners don't, then they cannot get off the ships. This is since 9/11, and even the Patriot Act has tightened things up even more. I've heard stories from people in Astoria many years ago when the ships would come in here with Russian sailors on board, and those sailors were allowed to get off the ships. And it was a really kind of a happy thing when a ship would come in and all these Russian sailors would, of course, come on shore and, you know, spend money and just intermingle with people in the community. And that kind of thing, as you notice, doesn't happen here anymore. It only happens under very specialized conditions, like seafarer centers like this one. And there are centers like this in ports around the United States and around the world. The Vancouver one seems to be a pretty special, pretty homey one. There were a lot of volunteers there. When I went there, they were having a party for their volunteers. And all these people in the community who come there and give their time to make things a little bit easier for those folks who bring us our more than 90% of everything. You've been listening to The Ship Report, the show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. Thanks for listening, and have a great day.